last verse. When Christ shall come, I want to tell you something. What a tremendous time that is going to be. You know, when Christ shall come, and we can only imagine what that's going to be like. And the Bible tells us a few things of what's going to take place, and we're going to hear some noise.
And of course, Jesus is going to be in the clouds, and we're going to go to be with him. I want to tell you, that's going to be a wonderful time, and I don't know, there's been some times in my life and I've been really excited for things. When that shout comes and the trumpet comes, I want to tell you, there's going to be some excitement. I know in my heart. I hope it will be in your heart as well. You look forward to that, to be with the Lord. But praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonder and all the things that he does for us. One of the things that we have themed and been studying this year was the completeness of God, and specifically the completeness of Jesus Christ, the things that Jesus has given to us and what he provides. And folks, there's nothing left undone. There's nothing left undone. You know, I have likened this journey, you know, in life to a, you know, just a trip. Imagine taking a trip, and many of you have taken trips in the past, and you pack your bags and you're getting ready to do everything. There's questions about what should you take, what are you going to do, where are you going to go, how do you know where to get there? You're going to have to have a map or a GPS, or you're going to have directions. Beyond that, you've got to know, you know, how you're going to do what you're going to do, the times and the places that you're going to go. Can you imagine? Now, some of you, I understand the illustration doesn't work perfectly. You understand most all illustrations aren't perfect unless they're given to us from the Word of God. The Word of God has the best illustrations to give us. But we make a feeble attempt as mankind to give illustrations. But, you know, you're going on a trip and you're questioning yourself, all right, what are we going to do? And here, all of a sudden, somebody, a travel guide, comes to you and says, and here, I've got it all planned out for you. Well, that's all good. That's great. Why? There's all kinds of things to do. And you get that, and you're thinking, what am I going to need? And boy, I'm going to have to spend some time figuring out what I ought to pack, and what clothes should I take, and what things should I bring. And this guide shows up and says, you know what? I've got that all taken care of as well. I know what you're going to need. Well, boy, where's the list? I'd like to see that. Okay, if you know what I need to know what to do to go out and to purchase all these things. And this guide shows up and says, you know what? I've got that taken care of as well. I've got all these things for you. And you're thinking, what kind of a trip is this? I've got, you know, he's got everything mapped out. He's got an itinerary for me. He's got a complete plan. He's got a list of everything I need, but more than the list, he even took care of everything that he's got it here for me. And all right, well, how are we going to get there? You know, maybe we need to rent another vehicle. Wait, maybe we need to get something bigger, something, you know. And this guide shows up and says, I've got the way to get there as well. I've got the way to get in there. Just follow. Why don't you just come? Well, this is pretty interesting trip that has already been prepared for me. And so we go, and we're thinking, you know, what, you know, how is this all going to work out? And along the way, you know, the illustration goes, and this guide continues to just not just show up. He's always been there, but he's there, and he says, look, every step of the way, he's got everything taken care of. And you show up to this, and you're pulling out of your pocket the money to get that. And he says, you know what, I've got it taken care of. Just go in and take this. And folks, I you know where I'm going with this, because we already started it last week. You know, God has given to us a journey in life. On the average, a journey that's, you know, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90 for some. A journey that takes a while to go through. But you know that God has given to us the way. I'm reminded of Thomas in the book of John. And of course, we've talked about Thomas quite a bit in the last many weeks. You know, Jesus was spending his time with his disciples, and he's telling about all kinds of things, and he says, I'm going to leave you. You're going to be on a little bit of a journey. But he said, don't be afraid. In fact, you need to be encouraged with things, because I'm going away. but I'm going to give you everything you need to go through it. That concerned the disciples, and Thomas in particular, who was a little bit skeptical of things. You know, Jesus had just got done, you know, in John chapter 14, Jesus had just got done saying that, and you're going to know the way. He wasn't super specific with how he was going to know the way, but he said, you're going to know the way. And Thomas said, Jesus, we don't know the way, and we don't know how we're going to get there. Jesus gave some phenomenal words. Words that would maybe not be exactly... What was Thomas expecting? You know, Thomas was expecting a big map, a road map of some sort, a big plan of where to go. Now again, I'm not saying that he wanted a map, but in a sense, Thomas was wanting the Lord to give him the directions. And he says, how? And Jesus doesn't give him a map. You know, Thomas had a lot of questions that he wanted answered. Thomas was like me. I like to have everything, all my questions answered so that I get everything figured out. Thomas wanted everything figured out. And, you know, Jesus didn't sit there and answer all of his questions about everything that would come up on this journey. Thomas wanted to know how he was going to get there and the power that it would take to get there. And again, Thomas might have been wanting to know, is it going to be by horse? Is it going to be by a mule? Is it going to be by, how is it going to be? And again, Jesus answered him in a unique way. It would be none of those things. In fact, he gave one answer for all of them. He said, Thomas, I am the way. He said, I'm the truth and I'm the life. He said, Thomas, I'm the roadmap. He said, I've got answers to all the questions. And he said, and I'm the power to get there. I want to tell you something. That was a phenomenal answer. But it's not just an answer for every one of people out there that don't know Jesus. By the way, can I stop and say this? If you're out here today and you've got a lot of questions about life and how you're going to make it and where to go, can I answer that your answer is Jesus Christ? And that's the end of my answer. It's Jesus. He tries to fill everything up with so many things. Try this, try that, go there, do this. And folks, I've said this to many people. We're not all about religion. You know, religion, and some people, you know, are thinking, what? A pastor telling me we're not about a religion? You know, religion is man working his way. Religion is man coming up with the path. Man coming up with the answers and man providing the way to get there. God didn't say that religion or church was the way to heaven. No, Jesus is the answer. You know, you might be here today and you say, I don't know how I'm going to get to heaven. I've been working really hard. I don't know. And, you know, I go to bed every night and I wonder what's going to happen. You know, if I would die today, can I tell you that the answer is Jesus? The answer is Jesus. We find ourselves sinners. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, every one of us. Every one of us, we're sinners. We know that we're sinners. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 in verse 23 that the wages, that's an earning, the wages of sin, so we're working through sin, the wages of that sin is death. Eternal separation from God. What a horrible thing to say, Pastor. That's the truth. That's the truth of God's Word. It's the truth of our lives. We're sinners and we're working for eternal separation from God. But the gift of God. I love that word gift because it's a grace. It's free. It's no working. It's no earning. It's a gift. It's above and beyond everything of who I am and what I've done. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, doesn't matter what you've done. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't know what you've done, but He came to seeking to save sinners. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, what does it take? That was in the verse. Whosoever believeth in Him. Friends, it's trust. It's faith. It's acknowledging that what He's done, and it's transferring Your dependence. Everybody listen to this. This is where the rubber meets the road with salvation. It's transferring your dependence from the world's way, your way, whoever's way, to Jesus' way. And remember what Jesus told Thomas. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' answer to Thomas was for the world to know how to get, as a sinner, to God. And that's the only way, through Jesus. But that truth is good for believers as well. Do you know that the only way in life to make it through is Jesus? He's got the answers. He's got the answers for everything. Well, we further define this in, and God has helped us more, not just giving Himself. He gave us His Word. He gave us His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was almost as Jesus knew Thomas. He knew those other disciples. He knew Pastor Sean, and He knew you, and said, you know what? I'm good enough for him, for this guy or this lady to get to heaven, but I want to tell you, I'm going to give him my Word, even to further show everything and spell everything out. Isn't it a blessing that we have God's Word today? It's a blessing that we have. He even decided to give us a map besides Jesus. He gave us a map. He gave us answers. And He gave us the power to get there. I want to tell you something, folks. There's no messing around when God said that I'm going to be everything to you. And He was. He gave us Jesus and He gave us His Word. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means every single word out of that book is meant for us. And it's meant for doctrine. It's meant to teach us what's right. It's meant to show us and point out when we get off. It's meant to help us when we are off to get back on the right road. And it's good to help us to stay on the road. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished. Completely packed our bags for life and all good works. God has been so good to us and given us Jesus. He's been good to us in giving us His Word. Folks, He's been good to us, thirdly, in giving us the church. Are you thankful for a church? And I want to tell you something. Church is just not some checklist of things that you got to do in order to get to heaven. Remember, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, along with Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, telling us that it's not our work. It's His work. It's His grace that we are saved. No, God doesn't give us the church as something just to do so we can check off so that we can get to heaven. God gave us the church to worship Him for all that He's done for us. I'm so grateful that He's given the church to us. And by the way, folks, it's His church. And guess who's responsible for growing this church? And all of you look up and say, you, Pastor, guess what? Jesus is responsible for building the church. You know that it's his building, it's His church, and He's going to build this place, and He's building it for His honor and for His glory and for our edification so that we can grow, so that we can be a blessing to each and every one of us. And I'll tell you, it's encouraging news that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means we have victory today, folks. We have victory. We have victory over the evil one. We have victory over the wickedness of the evil one. We have victory over our own sin and our flesh. We have victory over death. We have victory in Jesus. And that's a blessing. And He's given us the church to help us along the way. And the fourth thing that we're looking at is the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Now, I don't have a lot of time to review a lot, but we're talking about a guide to get us to where we need to go. And when He left us, He said, I'm going to give you all these things. I'm going to give you a comforter, a paraclete, somebody that's going to put their arm around you, kind of like in the opening illustration, that person that's going to just provide everything for you. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Why don't you go to John? We're going to look at a couple chapters here. I know my time is fleeting this morning, and we have the Lord's Supper, and so I've got to be very selective what I give to you. And I mean that. I don't want to take so much time, but I do want to look at a few things that are so important. The comforter that has come to us. I'm just going to, just by quick review, He's come to help us and to be with, more to just lead us and guide us, but to plead our cause. A legal assistant that is there before the Lord and is there kind of like Jesus when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit that's there to come alongside of me and to plead my cause. But we see, first of all, he's a sealer. He seals us under the day of redemption. I want to tell you, folks, that we are protected not only by God the Father and in his hands. We're protected by the Son, Jesus Christ. We're protected and sealed. Sealing, meaning our identification, our confirmation, our authenticity of his child. We praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit and his convicting work in our hearts and lives. I don't know about you, but I don't like conviction, but I'm thankful for it because it indicates to me that I am a child of God. Not that we go around proving our salvation because of that, but I'll tell you what, it's just one of those final seals that I have. I'm grateful for that conviction. And you ought to be thankful for it too. And it's that individual that doesn't have that conviction that ought to be concerned. I don't say that for you to question your salvation. I say that to be thankful for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. We need to be thankful. But he seals us, and we went through that. He ensures us. He's the earnest of our inheritance. And we went through that last week, and he's that down payment. Folks, I want to tell you, there's more to come. Besides what we have on this earth, we have Jesus was our first fruits. The Holy Spirit has come as an insurer. There's more to come, and I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that. As we heard, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation. I'll tell you what, there's good things to come, and the Holy Spirit is kind of that down payment for us to know that we have more. We went through that. I'm thankful for the gifter that has come to give us gifts. And I'll tell you what a blessing it is that this church is outfitted for us to do the work of the ministry. And he's done it with individual people just like you. And he's gifted you to edify the body of Christ and to know how to lead. I'm thankful for people in this church that get up and lead that way. I'm thankful for people who sit there and listen. But I'm thankful for people who behind the scenes serve. I'm thankful for some of you who are very merciful towards other people when they are struggling. We heard in that note this morning about a few people that called and prayed and they seemed to care. I tell you what, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit to you. And I'm grateful that you are doing that because this body needs that gift. There are other people that are administrators, and they help this church to function properly and to keep things organized and going, and the list goes on and on. But we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which really is used so that the body can be edified and God can be honored and glorified. And of course, we looked at that as well. He's the revealer and guide of truth. John 14. Look in John 14. Look at verse 17. Here we see that he's called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. John 14, 17. And Jesus is speaking to these disciples, again, right after Thomas has been talking to him. He said, "Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you." Now understand something, and I think you know this teaching, this doctrine, but when an individual trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, immediately, it's not some second giving of grace that God gives, immediately, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of every single person that trusts in Jesus Christ. As you're saved here today, if you've trusted in him, you've got in your possession the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you receive this one that in this verse is called the Spirit of Truth. Now, you know probably because this word in our Bible is capitalized, the Spirit, we know that there's a quick reference to an individual, right? Because there are times in the Bible where spirit is not capitalized. It might be talking about the spirit. And, there was another spirit in him. Spoken of was it Daniel? There was another spirit in him. Holy Spirit or whatever. But there was a different motivation inside of him. But here we see that this is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Spirit of Truth. So a reference to the Holy Spirit himself. But it's interesting who the Holy Spirit is. Now, Don't get caught up when I say this, but I believe that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the source of truth. Now, right away, you scratch your head and say, wait a second. Go back 10, 11 verses, and didn't Jesus say, I'm the truth? Didn't he say that? He's the truth. And here we have Jesus saying that he's the Spirit of truth, and now I'm telling you that he's the source of truth. Now understand, Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the source from which we receive the truth. I love that. He's the source of that truth. Let me give you an example that I think will help you. And again, the illustrations break down a little bit, but all right. You have electricity, you have water, you have different things that power things. We understand, let's take water for instance. Water is what's needed for what you do, for your life and the different things you do. We need water. We get the water, and we understand that in that water, in a sense, is the life. Now we know that we could talk about air and oxygen, but we need that water. The water is the thing that we need, but it comes through a faucet. It's where we get it. Or maybe you could even trace it back through the lines and it comes from a well. It comes from a place. Okay? I believe that the Holy Spirit is a transporter of that life to us. He has come to show us Jesus. I do. I believe that he's come to show us Jesus. He's that transporter. Now, it's interesting when I say that, it's interesting what the word Spirit is. Now, this is in reference to the Holy Spirit, but the word Spirit is in the Greek pneuma. What does pneuma mean? The word pneuma is very specifically the movement of air. Think about that. The movement of air. And we have a word for that. We call it wind, right? Now, I don't know about you. I was never a science spectacular, okay? I don't understand it, but I don't understand wind. I don't understand all the things of where. I know things happen in our earth and whatever to create wind, and certain things happen, but wind isn't something we understand very well because we don't see it. We can feel it, we can hear it, but we don't really, you know, unless you're a scientist, I don't understand it. But what does it do? Wind moves air, right? It transports air. If I could say it this way, and I say it loosely because I don't know if it's exact meaning here, you know, with the Spirit, but air is life. It transports that life. I just give that for an illustration. That's kind of what the Holy Spirit does. Transports the life to us. And how, by the way, and this is a quiz for you, a pop quiz. How does the Holy Spirit transport life to us? We know that the life is who? Jesus, right? How does the Holy Spirit, what does he use? He always uses this, by the way. Always. The Holy Spirit is never apart from this. What's the answer? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to come. And isn't this so neat? Talk about the opening illustration. Remember, God's doing everything to take care of. You know, again, remember the guy that popped up and said, and here I am, I've got even this for you. God has given the Holy Spirit to us, even when Jesus was away, to help us to still have Jesus right here in our lives. To bring the truth of the Word, the written Word of God to us, and to make it very practical. And the Holy Spirit comes to give us truth. Now, in the world that we live in today, I'm grateful for truth, aren't you? I'm grateful for truth because we live in a world that seems to be absent from truth. But I'll tell you, it's not that we're absent from truth. It's just that the world is trying to twist truth all up. But we've got the truth, and the Holy Spirit has come to give us and provide, to be the channel to bring us the truth. And we get the truth through the Spirit and the Word of God together. That's how we have the truth. I want to tell you, we are not destitute today of truth. We have been deceived with non-truth, but we have the truth through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit giving to us. Here we see the Spirit of truth, the source of truth. He is that transporter of life to us as he gives. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We can be thankful for the Holy Spirit. And that's why, and folks, honestly, this is going to get very practical. That's why we need to open the Word of God. That's why we need to read the Word of God. That's why we need to expose to the Word of God. Because the Spirit in the believer's heart uses the Word of God. How can a person know how to go and what to do without reading God's Word? It's the access to it. You cannot get water without going over to that faucet and turning it on and using that faucet so that you can get that water. I want to tell you something. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit and praise the Lord for the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to get us truth. So many people are walking around today and say, boy, we don't have hope that we sang about. The hope is in the Lord. We don't have hope and there is no truth and we don't know. Folks, we've got it, but we're not using it. How many Christians living in our churches today are trying to make it through, going through struggles, and they're barely cracking their Bibles to see the truth? They're not giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak in their hearts. Some are scared of the Holy Spirit's work because he's going to show truth. That's who he is. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the bearer of truth. But I want to tell you something. We don't open our Bibles. We don't listen to preaching. When we don't take time to have our devotions. And I want to tell you something. We're not going to get the truth, and we are going to be left seemingly without hope. It's not because the hope's not there, because we're not accessing it. We're not turning on the faucet and letting the Holy Spirit work inside of us to show. The Bible says, go to John chapter 16, that he is the guide into all truth. I like this because he's a guide. Howbeit, this is John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide. He's going to guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, these disciples, they had the truth with them through Jesus Christ. They had it, but in their human minds, now just follow with me here, they felt so incomplete, didn't they? Thomas felt incomplete. What's going to happen? Where? How is this going to take place? And Jesus comes along and he would complete them. He would give them everything. He would help them to understand the significance of the cross. I'll tell you, when Jesus told them, you know, that he was going to go to the cross, they thought, what? The cross? You're the Savior, you're the Messiah, you're the deliverer, you're supposed to be all this, and you're going to go to the cross. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit would come and to help these men understand the truth. They must have understood because there was time. You know, from Peter denying Jesus to into Acts in the first couple chapters, preaching with boldness the truth and people getting saved, something happened there. Wouldn't you agree? Something happened, and I want to tell you what happened was the Holy Spirit coming down upon these men. He would enlighten them to reality. I believe that if God wouldn't have given the Holy Spirit, now he would have given something else, but if he wouldn't have given the Holy Spirit, the disciples would have had no clue how to win the world to Jesus. They wouldn't have had all the answers. They wouldn't have had, but God gave the Spirit, and that Spirit would guide them inside to know what the truth was, and then to be able to give that truth out. And God did that. He gave them the truth so they would understand the cross. You know what? Peter had an understanding not too many days after the Holy Spirit came about that cross. He knew about it, and he was able to preach with boldness, and people were saved, thousands of people. Wouldn't you say the Holy Spirit did his work? He did. The point of the resurrection, I want to tell you, those disciples, when they ran into the tomb that day and they saw Jesus risen and Mary Magdalene there, I want to tell you something. They were putting together the piece of the puzzle, but when the Holy Spirit came, it all started to make sense. It made enough sense that they could get up and they could preach the truth of the cross. They could preach the truth of the resurrection. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit in our lives today bears witness, yes, of the cross, bears witness of the resurrection. But I'll tell you what, it helps us in our situations. You know the Holy Spirit. God has given to us the Holy Spirit to help us when we don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, says, Sean, I want to tell you something. This is the direction you need to go. This is what you need to do. Do you know that the Word of God has the power through the Holy Spirit to direct us in our lives when we don't know what to do? Big decisions that we have to make? Because he is the guide of truth. He guides us into all truth. But we've got to be in God's Word. Our situations, our struggles that we go through, our temptations that we face, the decisions, as I already mentioned, the future directions, God gives us the truth. He guides us into all truth. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for somebody that God has personally given to us as a guide to lead us to truth. We don't need to be hopeless today. We don't need to feel like we're without truth today. If you're saved here this morning, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside that is guiding you to truth. Furthermore, it says, look at John chapter 15 and verse 26. John chapter 15 and verse 26, here's another word. Yes, He was our guide. But notice in verse 26 of chapter 15, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. So here's another interesting word, that the Holy Spirit would come and to testify. The Holy Spirit testifies. He's the one that brings the truth, listen to this, to a darkened heart. Somebody that doesn't understand the truth, doesn't know what to do, a darkened heart. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes in there to bring the light to that individual. Because what He does is He testifies of the light. He tells of, He gives proof of, He brings it to light, the one that is in the darkness. I'm so thankful for one that is there to shine the light. Have you ever been reading your Bible and things that didn't make sense? And by the way, there are many people that think, you know what, the Bible doesn't make sense and I can't understand it. You know, I want to say, you keep doing it and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal the truth to you. He's going to testify of who Jesus is. And it takes time, but the Holy Spirit is going to work so that you understand truth. But a lot of times we cut Him short because we don't spend much time in the Word of God. But He's going to do that. And this is the work that He does to an unsaved person. I love what God's Word does. When a person exposed to the truth, they don't understand truth. Maybe they've been in other religions. They get confused about things. This is something new. They've been thinking that it was their works. It was baptism. It was church attendance. And they sit under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and God's truth has an impact. You know what that truth is doing? It's being used by the Holy Spirit to testify of Jesus. To testify of Jesus. That word testify is like a witness. It witnesses to them. It testifies them. And they sit under it, and they sit under it. And after a certain while, they say, you know what? This is starting to make sense. This is starting to make sense. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit not only guiding them, but testifying of Jesus in their lives. He's testifying, and it begins to make sense. And before you know it, that individual comes to trust Jesus because the Holy Spirit's done His work. He's testified. He's proven. He's witnessed to them. Sometimes we think, listen to this, because this is practical. Sometimes we think that we have to go to that person, that neighbor, that relative a lot of times, and we need to continue to witness to them. Now, don't take me wrong here. We do need to continue to witness to them. Here's what I'm saying. Many times we underestimate the Holy Spirit's work in an individual's heart. You see, because as the Word of God's given, now, if they don't get any Word of God, that's one of the things that we need to do. To your neighbors, you need to continually give them the Word of God. To those friends, to those relatives, give them God's Word. Give them God's Word. Witness yourself, but let the Word of God do the witnessing in their lives. Because I want to tell you something. You might say some words that might not be right, but the Holy Spirit is going to have the exact words that they need. And we can trust the Holy Spirit testifying of Jesus in their hearts and lives. Give the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit do His work. You know, sometimes as families, we do this in our home as well. Maybe with saved people, we feel like we have to be the ones that harp on everything, tell them everything that they do is wrong. And, you know, some of you have older children and they're raising their kids these days. And it's hard as grandparents, you know, parents and grandparents not to step in. And by the way, take a little side note, parents, it's time, grandparents, if we want to put it in that category, it's time that we trust the Holy Spirit to do His work in their hearts and lives. You see, the Holy Spirit can work, and sometimes it's not our role to get in and do all of it on our own, but we've got to start trusting the Holy Spirit. I know as a parent of five children, sometimes I feel like I've got to be the one to tell them everything, and there have been times where Melissa and I have gotten together and said, you know what, maybe we need to pray. Give them the truth, and let God show him some of these things. Do you know that God is good at giving truth? Do you know that he's more effective than we are at giving truth? Why? The two-word answer, the person that has two words, the Holy Spirit. Because he is the guide to truth, he's the testifier of that truth. He's also the teacher of truth, and we're getting cut short of time here this morning. He's the teacher of truth. So glad that God teaches us, leads us, guides us, testifies of his truth. Lastly, we see he's also a prayer partner to us. I like this fact that the Holy Spirit, and this is not a complete study on all the things of the Holy Spirit, but go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. He's the truth. I want to tell you, when I see he's a source of our truth, he helps us to get the truth of Jesus. You know what? One of the neat things, and as a saved individual, one of the things that I love about the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life is I love the fact of that comforter, paraclete individual that not only is, remember the guide that we started talking about that's there for everything. Sometimes as Christians, we don't even know how to talk to God and to pray to him. But if you notice in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, this is right before the famous verse that many of us know, that he works all things together for good. Right before that, he gives us something that's so important to us, that helper that comes. Likewise, the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit of truth, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. How many times have we been there? I feel like I'm there a lot. Sometimes, Lord, I don't know if I should be praying for this or that or this way or that way. God, I don't have the words to say, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. See, the Spirit steps in for us on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And all God's people said, amen. You know what? I want to tell you something. That is a blessing right there. That is a blessing. When we don't know what the right truth is, we don't know the way, and we're searching Jesus, the Holy Spirit steps in and says, listen, I'm praying on your behalf, Sean. I'm praying on your behalf. And you might be praying some things that might not be the truth, but I'm praying the truth for you. I love that. I love that because I've got an intercessor going to God on my behalf. That when I don't know about, sometimes I have prayed, and when I got done, I said, what a mess. What a mess. I don't even know what, I don't even understand what I'm supposed to be saying. God, I don't know. And sometimes I feel like I'm on this side and I'm on that side and on this side and I'm on that side, just giving all kinds of loopholes. God, whatever. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit, folks, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to the Holy of Holies on your behalf. And he is praying the truth for you. He is helping bear, that word helpeth, he's bearing the load, the weaknesses, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. We need to be thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit. I ask you this morning, are you thankful for what the Holy Spirit does? Are you thankful for that gift that God gave to us at the moment of salvation that came inside of you, came to live and to say, here, Sean, I'm your personal guide. I've got every single thing you need to just... I'm going to point you the direction. I'm going to point you to the way. And you'll be taken care of. You see, the thing for us, two things as we close. Number one, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. We've got to be in God's Word. You're not in God's Word. And sometimes there's, if I can say this, small s spirit. Spirits come into our hearts and can lead us away from what the Spirit would. And God's Word says to try the spirits, whether they be of God. We need to get into God's Word and read the truth, because this is what the Holy Spirit uses. But second of all, we've got to obey when the Spirit leads. When the Spirit speaks to me, as the song says, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'm going to follow what he says. So the closing application then for us today, as we see all the benefits of the Holy Spirit, is are we reading, listening, are we in God's Word? Are we being directed? Are we following that? Are we obeying what He is saying? The combination of the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the church, the Holy Spirit, none of us can say that we've been left at a disadvantage. How can we in 2021 know truth? No. God's given us everything we need. And we need to thank the Lord for all that He's given to us. Father, I thank You so much. And I don't know what happened this morning. It seemed like time got away from us. But Lord, just had to rush things, it seems like, towards the end here. But Lord, I thank You for Your good truth that You give to us. But I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that is here to help us and to direct us and lead us and guide us and to testify and to bear infirmities and to pray for us. God, thank You so much for the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would take advantage of this help that You've given to us. And Lord, we'd use Him in our lives for Your glory and for Your honor. God, thank You. Lord, I pray that we'd be obedient followers. I pray that we'd be reading and learning followers. God, that You'd do the work through the Holy Spirit that You intend to do. Lord, and His work to bring us to You, Lord, would be a blessed thing. God, thank You. Rich in Jesus' holy and precious name, that we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.